Well, it's good to see everybody. Glad you're in church today.
Yes.
It's good to be here together today, isn't it? Let me just pray. And Father, we just thank you for your presence. We just thank you, Lord, that we can come together and worship Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can come as Christians and worship you. Lord, we thank you that we can enjoy one another's company. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence that is with us right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us. We thank you, Lord, that you're moving amongst us right now. And Lord, we just open our minds to you and our hearts to you. Father, I pray for people here today who need a real touch from God. I just pray, Lord, that you'll minister to them today. I pray for people, Lord, who have come to the start of 2019 and they haven't even finished the first month, but they feel exhausted already. Father, I pray for them, that you'll refresh them and strengthen them. Pray for people here today who need a touch in their health, an improvement in their health. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the healer. And we pray healing for one another today. We do pray, Lord, as we just turn to your word, that you'll speak to our hearts today. We pray our hearts will be good ground to receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
I just got a little photo I just want to show you just right now. And I just got to bring it up. He went to his first church service today. How about that? And somebody said to me, please indulge me. I'll get over it, I'm sure. But somebody said to me, is it really good to be a grandfather? I said, yes. Yes. Better than anything I could have ever imagined. And we exchanged photos on, what do we use? What's that thing on WhatsApp? WhatsApp. We also do FaceTiming. We do WhatsApp. We've got it all going on. Now, you got to remember, Jared, our oldest son, he left Melbourne, didn't get time to see baby Luca born. But this morning, you know, because we've got photographs flying around everywhere, all the kid just has to move his head and we take a photograph. In fact, this morning, before he went to church, he had his hands together like this. And Ben said, he's praying for the service already. Amen. But Jared said, I've never loved a baby as much as I love Luca. He texted it. And I was thinking, Michelle and I were talking about this morning. Luca's done nothing. Done nothing. The kid can't even talk. We don't know what kind of personality he's going to have. We don't know. And you know, the truth is, he could have been the ugliest baby in the world. And we would still love him. And Michelle, we're just talking about it. I know why Jared said that. It's because he's family. He's a new addition to our family. It doesn't matter whether he's ugly, beautiful, smart or not. He's just family. And that's how the kingdom of God is.
Amen.
It's how it's meant to be. It's how it is with the Father. He looks at you and you might be the ugliest Christian in the world. And he's saying to the angels, oh, I just love them so much. And the angels are saying, why? And he's saying, and God says, because they're family. And this morning, you're family. Amen. So that's the only photograph I've got to show you this morning, but I've got 500 others for another time. Franklin Graham's coming. I'm looking forward to that. But in 1959, 60 years ago, his dad came, Billy, the late Billy Graham, because he passed away last year. He came to Australia and he preached the good news of Jesus Christ around Australia, around our nation. He came actually for a month. And he came to Perth also for a week and he preached at the Claremont Showgrounds. I just want to just ask, was anybody at the Claremont Showgrounds? Did you go to the Claremont? Seriously, you don't even look old enough. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can. You were there? Yes, sorry, come.
Trish was there.
Trish? Okay, Eleanor, tell us.
I was 15 years of age and I'd been going to Sunday school on and off to South Perth Church of Christ, and the people who'd actually started South Perth Church of Christ had invited everybody on the block to go to the Billy Graham Crusade. So I went with my mother and father. And I didn't particularly remember anything about it in later years, but 30 years later, I got born again in Thornleigh Church of Christ. And God reminded me that on that day, I had given my heart to Jesus, but because my parents weren't Christian and because of the massive crowds, I'd not allowed to go forward and I'd never been discipled. But the seed had been planted.
Wow.
And
wow.
Here I am today.
Wow.
And I've been a Christian for 30 years now.
Thank you. You know, I became a Christian the year before I went to Billy Graham Crusade. And it was absolutely amazing. And, you know, I thought, you know, I could have waited another year because I wanted to go forward. But, of course, you know, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, it was absolutely wonderful. Fantastic. Just to see so many people from my hometown, which was Wagen, you know, to go forward. So, yes.
Wow.
And I'm not telling you how old I was.
I'm not either. I just remember it was so crowded. My daughter, we all went up. And she's also a Christian today still and remembers Billy Graham. We were blessed 2 years ago going around Oz, and his grandson was in Alice Springs. So we had a full weekend of the Grahams, and it was just absolutely wonderful.
Wow.
But I do remember the atmosphere of that stadium was just alive. It was just so wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? And how long ago was that? That was 60 years ago. Wow. Billy Graham, he also preached at the MCG, and there's a little bit of a dispute over the numbers. That they said there was at least 130,000 people at the MCG, or some numbers are actually over 140,000, 146,000. Now, they've had big crowds at the MCG, including the football, including cricket. They've had rock bands come there, and all sorts of people have been at the MCG. But the biggest crowd in history at the MCG was the Billy Graham Crusades. People came to hear the gospel. And Australia back then was impacted in a huge way. And people have said in those meetings, and I've been just doing a little bit of research, people said that those meetings were the closest thing to revival that Australia's ever seen before. And so Billy Graham then came back on two other occasions. I can't remember the dates. I think 1976 might have been one of them. And it did come back. But in 2 weeks' time, as Rochelle's already said, we got Franklin Graham coming, his son. He's not coming to the showground. He's coming just for one night. He's not coming for a week like Billy Graham came to Perth for a week. But he's just coming for one night to hold this evangelistic service in the Perth arena. And we as a church just want to be part of this historic event. It's going to be a magnificent event because people are going to be born again. And as Rochelle said, if you want to catch the train, we will be meeting at 5:30 on the 9th, Saturday the 9th of February. And there's a 5:40 train. And if we miss it, there's a 6 o'clock train. Then we'll catch the train to Perth. And it's about an 800-meter walk from the train station to the Perth Arena. We have reserved seating for Real Life Church. And they're going to give us a number of a door that we're supposed to go through. They haven't given it to me yet, but I'll have it by next Sunday. We'll go through that door and there'll be seats for people who belong to Real Life Church. What do you reckon of that, everybody? But we want to bring our friends along too, huh? And that's what it's all about. So I just got a little video clip I just want to show you. Thanks, Michael. Thank you.
He went to the cross that we might be set free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
God loved you so much that he sent his son out of heaven to this earth on a rescue mission. No
the most important thing that we can do is to pray. Is Holy Spirit filled power when you preach the gospel? I want you to know tonight that God loves you. We've got more opportunity today than we've ever had to make the impact of Christ felt in every phase of life.
Wow. And Father, we just pray for the Franklin Graham meeting in Perth and around our nation. We just pray the people will be saved, but we also pray for a ripple effect, a good, great ripple effect across our nation, Lord, because of Franklin Graham's visit here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Franklin Graham, he's an anointed preacher in his own right. He's a great communicator of the gospel. And so the point of this event is not to entertain us. The point of this event is to invite people along, because some people don't want to come to church because they've got issues to do with church. And I understand all of that, actually, to be honest. But they'll say, oh, come and hear this guy because he's the son of Billy Graham, you know, and all of that. And these guys have got respect, and people will come along. So invite them along, invite your family along, your friends along. And who knows that perhaps the person that you invite along, I've got somebody I'm targeting who I've been trying to get along, and I'll be inviting them along to this. And who knows that your friend or your family member that you invite may go forward and become a born-again Christian. How good would that be? How good would that be? And the truth is, every person needs Jesus Christ. Everybody needs Jesus. I'll say it again. Everybody needs Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus Christ. And every person deserves an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen? But it raises a question. I'm preaching now, so everybody go with me on this sermon. Are you ready? It's not a long sermon. Who's glad about that? Amen. Straight to the point. I've got to build up again. I've nearly forgotten how to preach. Amen. But everybody needs Jesus, and it raises a question, and it's an important question. Why do we need Jesus Christ? Why do I need Jesus Christ? What is the matter with me that I need to have Jesus Christ in my life? What is wrong with us that we say this, we need Jesus Christ? Why is this such a big deal to us? And the Bible makes it a big deal. The Bible explains why we need Jesus Christ. The Bible explains that we need Jesus Christ because every one of us has a sin problem. Amen. You might look like, and most of you do, you might look like that butter would not melt in your mouth. You look so good. What a good person you are. But the truth is, you've got a sin problem, just like everybody else has a sin problem. The Bible says, for all have sinned. And? Of God's standard. For all have sinned. All have sinned, including even the Pope has sinned, right? All have sinned. And then it says, for the wages of sin is death. We have a sin problem. Now, I know most of you know this, but please, let's be reminded of these facts. Sin, everybody, affects everybody. Sin affects everybody. I'm emphasizing this because we live in a world that doesn't want to acknowledge sin. It says you've just got a problem because of your upbringing. You've just got a problem because of the person you married. You've just got a problem because you live in Australia. Whatever the you've just got a problem. Go for counseling and it will sort you out. No, we have a sin problem. Sin affects everybody. Sin affects you. It affects me. Sin is the reason why you have trouble in your life. Sin is the reason why I have trouble in life. Sin is the reason why people hurt other people. Sin is why we needlessly get angry when we're driving our car. Sin is why we yield to temptation. Sin is why we break the law. And we're all lawbreakers. Who drives? Put your hand up. Yep, you're a lawbreaker. Amen. Sin is why we do things that we regret. Sin is why we repeat the same mistakes over and over again. Why do I do this? Oh, I have this psychological problem. No, you've got sin in your life. Sin is why we have a domestic violence epidemic in Australia. It's sin. Sin is why we have a massive drug problem. It's sin. Sin is why we can be so mean to each other and to others, and then we suffer regret afterwards. Amen. Sin is why we have to have the law. If we weren't sinners, we wouldn't need the law. We wouldn't need rules. We wouldn't need the police. But we have them because we're a bunch of sinners. Sin is why we have jails. Sin is why so many people are sad. And the truth is, people want to be happy, but the sin in them sabotages their good intent. Darn, I've ruined that again. Sin is that innate, rebellious part of you that you were born with that is a source of all the pain in your life. You want to do the right thing. I have no doubt about that. People living in Gosnells and wherever you live, most people want to do the right thing, but they keep stuffing everything up. You want to be free, but instead you're a slave to doing the wrong thing. And your sin always leads downwards, never leads upwards. Stay away from sin. It doesn't go upwards to God. It leads you down to death. Your sin kills the good things of your life. From the death of friendships right through to the death of your own soul. Your personal sin is your number one enemy. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. Behave. Control your sin. Amen. It's true. Personal sin is your number one enemy. Absolutely it is. And that's part of the problem with people, is they always point at somebody else. It's my parents' fault. It's this, my school teacher's fault. It's because of that. But no. It's in you. It's your biggest enemy. It's right with you every day you wake up. It affects your worldview. It affects your behavior. It affects your relationships. It makes you feel yuck. Anybody ever have days when you feel yuck? Yeah. It's not the way God wired us up to be. It wasn't God's original plan for us to feel yuck. Sin makes you feel yuck. The sin messes with your life big time. And then your sin sticks to you. You can't get it off. Have you ever had that thing where you've gone to pick up a sticky piece of paper, throw in the bin, and you go, sin is exactly the same. Except it doesn't come off. It sticks to you. You can't wash sin away with soap and water. Counseling, as good as it is, will not make your sins go away. Positive thinking will not wash away your sins. It will just sometimes delude you to think you're a better person than you really are. Rule keeping will not make you a better person. Being religious and being kind to others will not make your sin go away. Pills, drugs, and drink, alcohol, never provide a way of escape from your sin because it's always there. It just masks it for a little while. And even death does not release you from your sin. It stays with you even right into the grave, into the next life. So it ends up separating you from God for all eternity. It sticks. You can't get away from it. And I'm glad that's not the end of the sermon just there. Oh, a real depressing day I had at church. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. Sin's powerful. Sin's destructive. Absolutely. It's killing our country today. But there is hope. I'll say it again. There's hope. And hope has a name. And his name is
Jesus
Christ is the hope of the world. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. For God so loved the world, the Bible says. And you can have that up on the screen if you want. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that's of himself, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, yes, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There is hope. We have a sin problem, but there is hope. And Jesus Christ is the answer. And listen very carefully, because we all presume people believe the same thing. Some of you here don't. We don't always believe the same things. We need to believe what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the only answer and he's the only solution to our sin problem. Don't go chasing other religions. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't go reading your stars. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Seriously. Therefore, in spite of our sins, because of this hope we have, in spite of our sins, we can have peace with God and know God and go to heaven because Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins with his life. Wow. 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 I can be washed from my sins. I can wash them away because of faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, in spite of our sins, Jesus brings a new power into our lives today that gives us the opportunity to live life differently to the way we used to live life. Jesus brings his power into our lives so that we can live under freedom and peace today. No matter what's going on in Australia, we can still live a blessed and good life because of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but what? To save the world through him. And Romans 8:1 says, therefore there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who trust in Christ Jesus, we're free from our sins. I reckon we should give the Lord a hand. Come on, come on. Come on. Jesus Christ is the only solution to our sin problem. Have you ever placed your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you ever done that? You know, you may be a good person, maybe you're better than the average person. Maybe you've got very good intent. Maybe you are kind to people. Maybe in when it comes to behavior, maybe your behavior is better than most Christians that you know. But that's not the issue. The issue is we need to put our faith in Jesus so we can have our sins washed away. For all have sinned. Do you trust in Jesus? Can we just pray for a moment? Let's just pray. Let's just say a quick prayer. Maybe you want to reach out to Jesus right now. You can do that. You can do that. People are just praying. We often just close our eyes so we don't get distracted. And that's what a lot of people are doing right now. But Father, I just pray for anybody in this room right now who's not right with you, that Lord, you will overshadow them right now with your love and your kindness and your wonderful presence. And Lord, we pray today for people here that, Lord, they'll reach out to you and trust Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And if that's you today saying, yeah, I don't really understand it all, but I want to trust Jesus. Would you pray for me? Absolutely. Just give me a wave of your hand. I'll pray for you right now. Can I pray for you? I'm going to carry on with this message. God bless you down the back. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you, darling. Anybody else? This is a very powerful time. Anybody else? God bless you, young man. Anybody else? Okay, let's just all pray. And maybe those who just raised their hand, and just let me know. Just get both your hands. You can see how I'm doing it. Just lift your hands like this saying, Lord, I want to receive from you right now. And also you're saying, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Father, we just pray for those who've just raised their hands. But really what they're saying is they're raising their hands to you. And Lord, we just pray for them today that this will be a powerful day for them. We pray you'll overshadow them right now. We pray, Lord, as they put their trust in Jesus Christ, that you'll wash away every sin that they've ever done, all the sins that they can remember and all the sins that they can't remember. We just pray you'll wash them brand new on the inside, and we just pray you'll wash them clean, and we pray you'll give to them today the gift of salvation and the gift of righteousness, and we pray that they will be born again. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Therefore, because everyone's a sinner, Everyone does need Jesus. But because everyone needs Jesus, one of the greatest joys of life, I think, is to play a part in introducing someone else to Jesus Christ. Who would agree with me on that one? Come on. When you influence someone to turn to Jesus Christ, really, you're saving them from the eternal consequences of their sin. It's like being a surf lifesaver. Anyone seen that show, Bondi Rescue, whatever it's called? Bondi Beach, Bondi Rescue, yeah. Those brave guys and girls are constantly pulling people out of the water. They're constantly rescuing people from drowning in the ocean. Our very own Kevin Christensen has recently become a qualified lifesaver, surf lifesaver. And he's 50 plus. Kevin's put a lot of time and he's put a lot of effort into getting fit, and he's very fit. In fact, in a few weeks' time, you know when they do the Rottnest Island swim? He's part of one of the teams swimming to Rottnest Island. How about that? Just watch out for the sharks, Kevin. That's all I can say. He looks pretty tasty. There he is. He's equipped so he could save people from the water. Kevin is trained to keep a watchful eye on the people using the beach. He's generally stationed at Leighton Beach. And if anyone gets into trouble in the water, Kevin has to go and save them and bring them to safety. And it doesn't matter who the person is to Kevin. It doesn't matter whether they're in trouble because they've been silly in the water, because some people get into strife in the water because they haven't obeyed the rules. But it doesn't matter. Kevin still has to go and he still has to save them. Kevin's actually on the beach for whoever gets into strife. It does not matter to Kevin or any of the surf lifesavers whether the person they're saving is actually a good person or a bad person. It does not matter whether they voted Liberal, Labor, or the Greens. Kevin's not going to say, "How'd you vote for?" "Oh, too bad." It's not going to happen, right? Not going to happen. It doesn't matter whether they're religious, atheist, you know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they're straight or gay. It doesn't matter. Those things are irrelevant. Kevin's there to rescue struggling people from the dangers of the surf, whoever they are. And that's because lives matter. Everyone matters. People, whoever they are, they all matter. And so they get rescued. In the same way, God's called you to be a spiritual surf lifesaver. People, look at that wave. What a great wave. People get dumped. Anybody being dumped and smashed by the waves? Yeah. I used to love it when I was young, but of recent times I went to the beach and I got dumped real badly. And I thought, man, I must be getting old. I barely got out of the water. But look at that. That's a terrible wave. And people get smashed by the waves of sin. People get dragged out by the dangerous and powerful rips of sin. Anybody been caught in a rip before? We all know what that's like, probably, hey. And lurking in the depths of sin are the hidden killer sharks of destruction. So we're here as Christians, we're here to see that people are rescued from such things. And we rescue them by introducing people to Jesus Christ, because people matter, lives matter, people matter to God. Everyone matters to God, no matter who they are or what they've done. Now, in the Bible, there's a great example of a spiritual lifesaver. His name is Andrew. Some of you have heard of him, and you should have, because he was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. In fact, Andrew was the first disciple of Jesus. However, even though Andrew was a disciple of Jesus, he was never known as a great teacher. He was never known as a great preacher or scholar. Andrew, the disciple Andrew, never said anything profound. He never said anything clever. He never said anything that anybody could really remember. He wasn't famous. He never wrote scripture like his older brother, Simon Peter. Andrew was just a real regular guy. He was just an ordinary bloke. An ordinary bloke who followed Jesus. We've got any ordinary blokes here who follow Jesus? Yeah, nothing special about us, but we follow Jesus. Amen. See, he was just like you. He was just like me. And Andrew only began following Jesus because he'd been following John the Baptist first. Anybody remember John the Baptist? He was a really good man, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was Andrew's friend. And John the Baptist pointed Jesus out to Andrew. Andrew, and he was with somebody else, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He pointed Jesus out. And Andrew took notice of him because John the Baptist was a credible and truthful friend to Andrew. And so Andrew listened to him, and Andrew came to know Jesus through his friend John the Baptist. And most people who follow Jesus do so because they've been influenced by a friend. Being a credible, truthful friend to someone is so important when we want to win our friends to Jesus Christ. Integrity in our friendships is really important. The impact of that meeting, of meeting Jesus, had such a profound effect upon Andrew that he just had to go and tell his older brother, who got all the attention. His older brother was Simon Peter. And Andrew introduced his brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, his own life, was also changed forever. And as a result, we have two extra books in the Bible because Andrew simply introduced his older brother, Peter, to Jesus Christ. Later, Jesus was preaching to a huge crowd that had grown to over 5,000 people. Some say there would have been 15,000 there because adding on the ladies and adding on the children. But it had grown to over 5,000 people. And Jesus was speaking to them out in the wilderness, away, a long way from the shops. And so after a full day of speaking with them, there was a shortage of food and people were hungry and getting a little bit grouchy. And at that moment, while they're dealing with this crisis, who would pop his head up at this crucial time? It was Andrew. Andrew had found a young lad. The rest of them couldn't care less about the kids. But Andrew cared. He found a young lad who had brought his lunch of 2 fish and 5 bread loaves to this big event. And this little boy was willing to share his lunch. So Andrew introduced the young fella to Jesus. And Jesus then took the boy's lunch. You know the story. He prayed over it and told the disciples to distribute the lunch to the 5,000 hungry people. And as they started to distribute the fish and the bread, the lunch just kept multiplying and kept multiplying and kept multiplying and kept multiplying and kept multiplying until everyone was fed. In fact, they ended up with leftovers. They ended up with 12 baskets of food left over. That boy started out his day just with his tiny lunchbox packed with 2 fish and bread. And he went home to his mum with 12 baskets full of fish and bread. That all happened because he met Jesus Christ. And that event is a picture of what Jesus does in our lives. He takes our little and he multiplies it, multiplies it, multiplies it. Imagine that little boy trying to say to his mum where he got the bread and fish from. I really did. I just gave my lunch on. That doesn't matter. Tell the truth. That young lad encountered Jesus and was part of a life-changing miracle because Andrew got involved and cared enough to introduce him to Jesus. In the Bible, there's a final example of what Andrew did. On another occasion, some foreigners came to Jerusalem to worship God, and then they heard about Jesus. They were foreigners. So they approached the disciples, requesting some time with Jesus. They were outsiders. Nobody really cared for outsiders. But who noticed them and handled their request? The Bible tells us that it was Andrew and he was helped by Philip. Andrew was like a spiritual surf lifesaver. He kept his eyes on what was happening to the people around him and in his sphere of influence. Andrew was an ordinary man who simply made the effort to introduce people to Jesus Christ. He did this because he understood that people really matter. People matter to God. Lives really matter to God. I get sometimes a little bit worked up with people. I'm a very emotive person and I'm highly opinionated. Who knows that? Michelle knows that. Sometimes I get angry with what I see going on in the country. And then I have to remind myself, look beyond what they're saying and see the person. Don't get angry about what they're saying. They need Jesus. People matter, even people who you totally disagree with. They matter to Almighty God. So what can we learn from Andrew? Firstly, God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. That's the first thing we can learn. If you feel very ordinary and very average, then you're the kind of person that God loves to use. You too can be like Andrew. The second thing is, secondly, truth is important in our relationships and friendships. If you're not a credible person, if you're not authentic, then you will not be taken seriously when you talk about Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we can learn that everyone can minister as Andrew did. Everybody. I can. You can. Andrew was quick to invite his brother to meet Jesus. He didn't wait to be trained on the art of communication. He didn't wait to learn more about theology. He met Jesus and was so impacted that he immediately went and introduced his brother Simon Peter to Jesus as well. You don't have to be a pastor or a leader in the church to be like Andrew. You don't have to know all the answers. And when somebody asks you an answer about the Bible, if you don't know the answer, don't make one up. They'll know. Tell the truth. I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You know, you don't need to argue people into the kingdom. It's the love of God in you, huh? And so be honest with people. You don't have to have all the answers. And you don't have to have read the whole Bible. It's good to read the Bible. I'll talk about it another time. But you could start ministering today. You might not have read the Bible at all. You could be like Andrew today. If you've met Jesus Christ yourself and placed your faith in him, then you are qualified to introduce your family and friends to Jesus. That's the qualification. You need to have met Jesus yourself. And maybe you don't have all the right words to say. I say, so what if you don't have the right words to say? You can still invite them to church. You can still invite them to the Franklin Graham meetings. That's going to happen in 2 weeks' time. In conclusion, every Sunday when I preach, I'm aware that we have a very mixed congregation here. All sorts of mixed. We're different. And I know that some of you have recently become Christians over the last 12 months, some in recent weeks. I also know that there's some people here being Christians for decades, like the three ladies who came out a moment ago. And I love that we have that mixture here at Real Life Church. I think that's really healthy. You need the new Christians and you need the older Christians. Amen? Yeah. Come on, that's healthy. This is good. This is healthy. But for those who have been following Jesus for a long time, like I have, I've been following Jesus for half a century now. Can you believe that? 50 years. And I want to say to people who have been Christians a long time like me, guard against complacency. Yes. Complacency is a powerful enemy of long-term Christians. So I remind you and I remind myself, let's not take the gift of salvation for granted. Don't take the simple gospel of Jesus for granted. Nurture a heart that is humbly grateful every day for the fact that Jesus Christ saved you from your sins. You know when you're getting complacent when somebody preaches the gospel and it no longer moves you. If you hear the preaching of the gospel and it doesn't move you, it means you need to get back right with God again and say, God, soften my heart again, soften my heart. Let's not ever be like the elder son in the story of the prodigal son who the elder son was judgmental concerning his younger brother. Let's not be like that. We're all under grace. We're no better than anyone else. I'm no better than anyone else. We are just fortunate that we live under the Father's covering of mercy, kindness, and generosity because of Jesus Christ. Except for the grace of God, there go I. Therefore, I'll finish with this. Let us fan into flame a new holy passion for His name, and let us old-time Christians invite our friends to Jesus Christ as well. Let us all at Real Life Church, our mixed congregation, all of us together at Real Life Church, be like Andrew. Be an Andrew in Jesus' name, and let's invite our friends to Jesus. Now, you might invite somebody and they might not come to Franklin Graham, but here's a goal. 2019 is the year when I'm going to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. We want to be like Andrew's. Would you stand with me, everybody? Come on, let's stand. Put your hand upon your heart. Come on, let's just pray. Actually, one of the flyers is one of those B and Andrew flyers that we got from Franklin Graham, and I think you've all got that figured out. Take it home. Read the back of it. But Father, I just pray right now for Real Life Church. We've come today. We've come to worship You. We've had a good time. We've come to be encouraged. Your presence is here. You've touched people's lives today. But Lord, we've also come to be challenged. And we don't want to become complacent with the good things that we've got from Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't want to take for granted our own salvation. And Father, we just pray right now that You'll stir our hearts as a church. All of us, Lord, we want more of Jesus. We want more of Jesus. We want to think like Jesus. We want to act like Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for Andrew, who leaves a great example for us. And Lord, in these dark days that we have been praying about, Lord, we want to be active in gossiping the gospel. We want to be people who lead others to Jesus Christ in 2019. And I just pray right now for my brothers and sisters that You'll bring to their minds right now a friend or a family member, somebody that they can invite and talk to about Jesus. Come on, just for a moment, let your imagination just wander, and you just think of those people in your life. Maybe you've got more than one that you can share the gospel with or invite to church or whatever, to Franklin Graham. Just think. I got a school friend, keeps in touch with me, and then he disappears and he pops up again. In the last few weeks, he's popped up again, and I think this could be his time. What about you? What about your friends? What about your friends? Would you say a prayer for your friend right now? Just pray. Just bring them before the Lord or family member. Just pray for them. Pray for an opportunity to share Christ in some way with them. Just you pray right now. Jesus, help us. God, help us. God, help us. Jesus. Now, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that freely we have received, we just want to freely give. And we just pray, Lord, for all those prayers. You put a seal upon them all. We pray for our family. We pray for our friends. We pray for a season of harvest. We want to be like Andrew. Do the same thing. We want to introduce people to Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.